ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 27 through 29, King Chitraketu's Lamentation. I'll read 27 and 28, and we'll read 29 together. Sri Suka Uvacha Iti Artito Sa Bhagavan Kripalur Brahmana Sutta Shrapat Yitva Charum Twastram Twastaram Ayajad Binu Pibu. In response to the request of Maharaj Chitraketu, Angira Rishi, who was born of Lord Brahma's mind, was very merciful toward him. Because the sage was a greatly powerful personality, he performed the sacrifice by offering oblations of sweet rice to Twasta. Jesta Shresta Chaya Ragyo Mahishinam Chabarata Namna Krita Duti Stasyai Yagyo Chistam Adadvija. O Parikit Maharaj, best of the Bharatas, the remnants of the food offered in the Yagya were given by the great sage Angira to the first and most perfect among Chitraketu's millions of queens, whose name was Krita Duti. Text 29. Ataha Nirpatim Rajan Bhavitaikas Tavatmaja Harsha Shoka Pradas Tubyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao Ataha Nripatim Rajyam Bhavitaikastavatmaja Harshashoka Pradhastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao. Ataha Nripatim Rajyam Bhavitaikastavatmaja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahmasuta Yayao. Ataha Nripatim Rajam Bhavitaikastavatmaja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahmasuto Yayao. Ataha Nipatim Rajan Avitaikas Pavatmaja Arshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao. Ataha Nipatim Rajan Taikas Pavatmaja Shashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao. Ataha Nipatim Rajan Bhavitaikas Pramatmajam Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao. Ataha Nirpatim Rajan Vavitaikastavatmaja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Subhama Suto Yayao. Matajis. Ata Nripatim Rajam Pavitai Kastavat Maja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao Atah Nipatim Rajan Pavitai Kastavat Maja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayao Atah Thereafter, Aha said, Nipatim unto the king, Rajan, O King Chitraketu, Bhavita, there will be, Eka, one, Tava, your, Atmaja, son, Harshashoka, jubilation and lamentation. Prada, who will give to Bhyam unto you, iti, thus, Brahmasuta, Angira Rishi, the son of Lord Brahma, Yayao, left. Translation. Thereafter the great sage told the king, O great king, now you will have a son who will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation. The sage then left without waiting for Chitraketu's response. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Harsha means jubilation and Shoka means lamentation. The king was overwhelmed with joy when he understood that he would have a son. Because of his great jubilation, he could not actually understand the statement of the sage Angira. He accepted it to mean that there would certainly be jubilation because of the birth of his future son, but that he would be the king's only son, and being very proud of his great wealth and empire, would not be very obedient to his father. Thus the king was satisfied, thinking, let there be a son. It doesn't matter if he is not very obedient. In Bengal, there is a proverb that instead of having no maternal uncle, it is better to have a maternal uncle who is blind. The king accepted this philosophy, thinking that a disobedient son would be better than no son at all. The great sage Chanakya Pandit says, Korta putrena jatena yona vidvan nadharma pimika kanena chakshushakimba chakshupidaiva kevalam. What is of use of a son who is neither a learned scholar nor a devotee? Such a son is like a blind, diseased eye, which always causes suffering. Nevertheless, the material world is so polluted that one wants to have a son even though he is useless. This attitude was represented in the history of King Chitraketu. Ataha nipatim rajan bhavitai kastavat maja Harshashoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahmasuta Yayao. Thereafter the great sage told the king, O great king, now you'll have a son who will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation. The sage then left without waiting for Chitraketu's response. Om Agyanatimirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the situation in this material world, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. To have some son, even though he was going to be the cause of lamentation, Maharaj Chitraketu thought that he wouldn't be an obedient son. He would be very disobedient, and therefore he would cause some lamentation. But better to have a disobedient son than no son at all. Of course, as the history goes, the son was born and only lived for a very short time because the co-wives of Krita Dyuti were envious, very envious of her having a son. They didn't have a son. And therefore they conspired to poison this young child while he was in the crib. So it was a cause of great lamentation. They have one puppet show for the children. And in the puppet show it shows that first Krita Dyuti is coming to the crib and sees the child dead and she faints. And then Chitraketu comes and he hears the wailing of the co-wives and the wife, and he faints repeatedly. He goes up to the crib and faints and gets back up and faints and again gets up and faints again. In the Bhagavatam, it's stated that he fainted repeatedly. He could not keep consciousness because the lamentation was so great. Later, in the sixth canto, Chitraketu will actually Chitraketu will say that Sukhaya Dukha Mokshaya Kurvati Dampati Kriya Tato Nivritir Apraptir Dukasyacha Sukasyacha. When he's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after he met, in chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord. At the end of that chapter, he says, Sukhaya Dukha Mokshaya, that a man and a woman try to live very happily together. They conspire to increase their happiness and decrease their suffering. But because their desires are filled with sense gratification, on the contrary, the Bhagavatam says, Dukasya cha, sukasya cha. Their unhappiness increases and their happiness decreases. We see practically in this material world, people are now marching on Wall Street and marching in downtown Los Angeles because they're very upset with the way of materialistic life. Things didn't go, their happiness didn't increase and their suffering didn't decrease. Therefore, let's march on the banks. Sometimes the conservative people are criticizing that these liberals have don't have one cause. They have so many different causes. They have no purpose. Their purpose is many-branched because they're upset with many facets. The banks, big business, all of the big investments that the government made to perk up the economy that failed. And therefore, they're showing their dissatisfaction, dukasya cha, sukasya cha, because their unhappiness increased and their happiness decreased. That's the nature of this material world. Material world means, as time goes on, unfortunately, our happiness decreases materially, and our unhappiness materially increases, is natural. That's the nature of this material world. In spiritual world, in devotional service, it's just the opposite. Anandam Buddhivardhanam is an ocean of transcendental satisfaction, and it increases exponentially. One is in ecstasy one day, and the next day, one is feeling more ecstasy. The happiness increases more and more, and never decreases. But in this material world, one may have a beautiful house, a very handsome husband, beautiful wife, lots of wonderful children, and as time goes on, the happiness decreases by nature. One becomes bored or becomes dissatisfied with the mood of the wife or the husband or the children, or thinks that the grass is greener. There's grass everywhere, it's green, but one is thinking that the grass over there, that's greener. I like that grass better. Our grass isn't so green, but their grass is greener. This is the nature of the material world, to be envious. Just like the co-wives of Kritayuti were envious because they were barren and they couldn't have children. Household life is meant, as we heard in the Bhagavatam previously, for begetting children. Household life without children is a desert. And the co-wives of Kritayuti, because they were barren, they were very upset with their lives. They were very depressed. In those days, I guess they didn't have the drugs, mother's little helpers, that we have today for all the depression. I think the number one drug in America is this depression drug. People are taking drugs for depression. I had to take some drugs for my heart, and somehow they put me on this Medicare RX. And now every pharmacy in the neighborhood is calling me up to sign me up for their program, because pharmaceutical exploits are probably the biggest business in this country. Everyone's very depressed because life didn't go exactly like they planned it. They wanted to meet Prince Charming. He turned out to be the frog. They wanted to meet the most beautiful princess. She turned out to be also some kind of frog. And because you have to live in that situation, therefore go to the doctor and they'll give you medicine to tolerate the situation. They'll give you this mother's little helper or whatever they call psychological medicine. So many people. So much so that even when people come to Krishna consciousness, first thing we have to ask them, are you on any medication? Are you taking any medication? And usually they pull out the list. Where should I start? Medication, people have to become medicated because this material world is dukkhasya cha sukhasya cha. Because I hanker, we heard yesterday Srila Prabhupada said that the spiritual world, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, na sokchiti, na kangchiti, there's no hankering, no lamentation, Bhagavad Gita states. But in this material world, I hanker for so many things, and once I get them, it's simply a cause of great difficulty. We had one child, a girl, and my wife came to me one day and said, I want to have another kid. I said, but you can't take care of the one kid that we got. She said, well, everyone tells me that if you have another kid, that the older kid will take care of the younger kid, and they'll take care of each other. And I was so stupid, I believed that. I said, oh yeah, that sounds right. The one kid takes care of that. I think that's true. And the problems exponentially become more difficult. Not only you have one daughter, then you have daughter and son. Both are crying. Both are causing great difficulty. But you were thinking, well, if I have a daughter and a son, then they'll take care of each other. Then it'll become easier. It becomes so difficult that the mother has to take medicine to remain so-called sane, to tolerate the situation. So this material world is like that. I hanker for so many things, and once I get them, then I either lament that they weren't what I thought they were going to be. This is no piece of cake. It didn't turn out to be a cakewalk. Or I lament because I'm going to lose it very soon. Just like this Maharaj Chitraketu. Later, he was given a benediction, and he was going with the Vidyadharas, I think it was, and flying everywhere. He had the ability, they could go anywhere. And he was chanting the glories of the Lord everywhere he went, Chitraketu. So he came upon a scene that Lord Shiva was there with the assembly of saintly persons, and Parvati, who was his wife, was sitting on his lap and he was embracing her. So this is natural, husband and wife, Shiva and Parvati. He's embracing her, even though he's in assembly. But Chitraketu started to laugh very loudly and actually made some serious criticism of Lord Shiva, Mahadev. Of course, this is the nature of the material world. I criticize you. You criticize me. This is the nature of the beast. But because Lord Shiva knew it was Chitraketu, he didn't take it very seriously. The other sages didn't take it very seriously. They knew he was a respectful devotee. He was just making some comment. He wasn't being so critical. But Parvati didn't take it like that. She was highly offended. And she cursed this same Chitraketu. He had come out of his lamentation for the loss of his son, as we'll see. His son was great joy, but then because his son passed away at a very young age, he brought great shoka, lamentation. And so later this Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati that you become a demon. He became the Vitrasura. That's the story of how he became Vitrasura. Because Parvati considered it an offense that he was criticizing Mahadev. She cursed him to take his next birth as a demon. This is often the case in Krishna consciousness. We don't know. Sometimes people are born as demons to give up their last life in order to fulfill their mission and go back to Krishna. Chitraketu had to take this birth as Vitrasura, as the big demon, and fight with Indra because of the curse of Parvati. So this is the material world, filled with enviousness, with lamentation and hankering, a little bit of jubilation, dukkhayalama shashvatam, little bit of happiness but mostly distress. People don't know what is in store. Sometimes they go to soothsayers and astrologers to find out what's going to happen in my future, because they're thinking now it's very unpleasant, but maybe 15 years from now it's going to be really, really nice. We had one Krishna conscious astrologer. I approached him when I was young, when I was first householder. And he said, in 2010, you're going to die from drowning. This was in 1985, Nalini Kanta. And I said, I have my first aid swimming patch. I swam a mile in the Boy Scouts. I swim at the Y. I'm a very good swimmer. And when I take a shower, it's never slippery. He said, it says, Mercury, Mercury, you're going to die of drowning. So I thought that was kind of humorous, and I kept it in the back of my mind. And in October of 2010, I was with the devotees. I had to go to the hospital, and they gave me medication because my lungs had filled up with fluid. And the doctor said if you waited another 45 minutes, you would have drowned. You would have left from drowning, not drowning from swimming, but drowning from liquid in the lungs. So sometimes we want to see what is the future. The future is we're going to die. Whether it be by drowning or by fire or at Burning Man or some amazing fall from a building. Future means by the time you're 75, 80, 85 years old, you're going to die. That's what your future is. And chances are you're going to be born again. But in between, there'll be a little bit of happiness and a little bit of suffering, probably mostly suffering, because that's the nature of this material world. So Maharaj Chitraketu, he was in such a position. His son was going to be born, not a good son. In his mind, his son was going to be a bad son, just like Maharaj Vena. He was a bad son. He was such a bad son when he was born. He used to go out with his friends to play. And they'd go in the forest, and like little boys do, they'd play cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians, and he'd go out with his friends and they'd have weapons and he'd kill his friends. Vena, when he was a young boy. He was so cruel that he'd go out in the forest and murder his friends. And when he became king, somehow or other, he became the king, King Vena. His rule was so cruel that the citizens felt like ants on a burning log. At one end, they had the cruel rule of Maharaj Vena, and on the other side, they had all the their own personal problems, taxes, and governmental problems. And so they were like ants on a burning log. So Chitraketu was prepared that my son may be like this. He may be a bad son. He may cause some great difficulty. But at least I'll have a son. He'll be the joy of my life. He'll be a chip off the old block, sometimes they say. But we don't know who our children are. Son can be born because in the past life he was your enemy. And he's come back to cause you great pain. I don't want to say that I feel like that necessarily. But children come, I think parents know, especially when they hit teenage years, that maybe they were some enemy in my last life. You hear the children say around the household, even sometimes devotee children, I hate you! You're not going to give them this, or they're not going to go, well, I hate you. I wish you were dead. And this was the chip off the old block that you prayed for? And you modeled yourself your whole life that, oh, I have such wonderful. This is the nature of the material world. Therefore, the Shastra says, don't get attached to your offspring. You don't know who they were in last life. Someone coming to give you great problems, great trouble. We have no idea who that. Don't get attached. Ato griha kshetra sitapta vitire. Janasi mohoya mahamameti. Don't be attached to your body and the offspring from your body. In this material world, nunam pramatakru tevi karma. People are mad after sense gratification. But the Srimad Bhagavatam Shastra, Chitraketu is being told here by Angira Rishi and the great sages, don't be too attached. This is going to be harsh Ashoka. This is going to be jubilation and lamentation. We have our wedding ceremonies in Krishna consciousness, and everyone's so joyous, and this is so wonderful, and everything's so happy. But in this material world, that's not always the circumstance. Actually, for the most part, that only lasts a few months, and then things start to deteriorate very quickly, in the material sense. Therefore, the Shastra says that we should become detached. Maharaj Chitraketu, his big lesson was detachment from all of his wives. Detachment from his so-called offspring. Detachment from this material world and attachment to Krishna. Attachment to devotional service, attachment to his devotional family, and to glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we're attached to Krishna consciousness, to spiritual life, then we become very happy, and happiness increases more and more. We become very satisfied. But attachment in this material world leads to different types of misery and different types of lamentation. So therefore, Shastra says, attachment is there. You can't stop attachment. But be attached to Krishna. We shall adopt, Prabhupada one time quoted, all the means of the materialistic persons only for the purpose of Krishna. That whatever purpose that we have, whatever purpose there is in this material world, should be utilized for our attachment and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions or discussion? Yes, Prabhuji. Druta Karma. It's going to be a trick question, watch.
Yeah, I've been thinking it all during the class, what kind of trick question I could ask. You're describing the position of the devotee as one of ever-increasing bliss, everything getting better and better and better. And I'm just wondering, is that for the ultimate pure devotee who's 100% fixed in devotional service? I mean, what about devotees who are coming from material life and trying to approach that stage? Is
that's
every
really
second of their life going to be ever increasing?
Very good question. Actually, when we first come from the material world, we get a burst of spiritual energy and a burst of spiritual enjoyment. I know myself, when I first came to the Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada's Krishna Consciousness Movement, I couldn't believe how happy I was. And when I got an opportunity to actually be in Srila Prabhupada's association in Vrindavan in 1977 in the summer, I wrote in the diary that I've never been this happy in my life. I feel like a little boy. There's so much happiness, and every day to get up and be in Srila Prabhupada's association and to swim in the Jamuna with the devotees, I feel more and more happiness. So from the spiritual point of view, even when we're not that advanced, if we stay in the association of the devotees and we utilize their association, then Krishna consciousness is only more and more increasingly happy. If we read in the morning, I read the Bhagavatam this morning from 6 to 7 after chanting japa, and I was feeling very satisfied and very happy for some strange reason. Because when we hear and chant and glorify Krishna, even in our neophyte condition, we become very peaceful and happy. What to speak of the pure devotee? He's experiencing unlimited happiness at every moment. He's experiencing the happiness, anandam buddhi vardhanam, the happiness of Krishna, the happiness of separation from Krishna. So for us, still, there's great anticipation and happiness knowing we're going to have a wonderful feast at 8:30, knowing we're going to be able to go and do some nice service very soon. And the future looks bright. It's going to be a lot of service today, and tomorrow there'll be service. And the day after there'll be more service, and there'll always be prasadam. So for the devotee, there's great security and great happiness. But for the non-devotee, will they take my boat? Will they take my house? Are they going to repo my car? Are my children going to leave home? Is my spouse going to leave home? There's lamentation at every step. But for the devotee, Lord Jagannath will never leave. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nitai Chaitanya will never leave. So they feel we feel very secure and increasingly happy. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.